Abe Foxman is in the studio with me this afternoon. He has been with the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith since 1965 and has been their national director since 1987. He is in town here to not only support the local branch of the ADL, but also to promote his book, which is called The Deadliest Lies. He'll be doing a book signing and a little talk about it tonight at 7:30 at the JCC out in West County. Abe, welcome to KMOX.
Thank you.
Pleasure having you here. Your book is a response to another book.
Yes, it's actually in response to an essay that was written and converted into a book called The Israel Lobby.
Mm-hmm.
It's really in response to this whole new manifestation of some old anti-Semitic canards about Jews,
mm-hmm.
conspiracy about Jews controlling.
That Israel Lobby, that two-word phrase, Israel Lobby, carries a lot of weight with it, particularly in the political world that we live in here. What do your opponents mean by it, and what do you mean by it?
Well, there's nothing wrong with any lobby. That's part of the American democratic system. There are government lobbies. There's a Greek lobby. There's a Turkish lobby. There's an oil lobby. There's a pharmaceutical lobby. It's part of American tradition. The question is, do you see it in a sinister way, or do you see it as part of the democratic process? The two professors, one from Chicago, one from Harvard, see it in a conspiratorial way. They call it the Israel Lobby. The way they define it, it's all Jews and a few evangelical Christians who support a state of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And what they basically project and write about is that those who support the state of Israel are not loyal to America, put Israel's interests above the interests of America. In fact, control Congress, manipulate the administration, all in the interests of the state of Israel. Well, that is so reminiscent, smacks of classic anti-Semitic canards who have always said Jews only care about themselves, Jews only act on behalf of what they believe is for their good. Now, this Mearsheimer and Walt, these two professors, even come to the conclusion that America is at war in Iraq because it's in Israel's interest, because the American Jewish community manipulated the White House, Congress, the Pentagon, to go to war because it's in Israel's interest. Then comes a former President Jimmy Carter, who adds his voice to this manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews control the media. I guess, Paul, they control you, they mm-hmm. control CBS or whatever, and that Jews and those friends of Israel also control universities. These are very ancient, sinister, classic canards of anti-Semitism. And mm-hmm. I felt a need to write a book to answer it. People who listen to this and say, what about this? At least we'll have a point of reference.
Mm-hmm. You call them the deadliest lies. What makes them deadly?
Well, deadly because historically the Jewish people have paid a very high price in terms of these charges, conspiratorial charges. Hitler did not begin his campaign against the Jews based on Aryan supremacy. He said he started a campaign against Jews before he enacted the Nuremberg laws, before Kristallnacht burned the synagogues. The Jews, German Jews, are not loyal citizens. German Jews only care about themselves and their own interests. And they sold out Germany for their own interests. That led, if you will, to the concentration camps. That led to the hatred of killed 6 million Jews. Stalin, his anti-Semitism was based on the fact that he claimed that Jews were not loyal Soviets, not good communists, that they only cared about capitalism or internationalism. And he added the concept of Zionism. Jews were Zionists. They only cared about their own nationalism, for their own Jewish sovereignty and existence, and they would sell out everybody else. So it's deadly in the sense that in Jewish history, we have paid a dear price. Jews have died because of conspiracy theories.
So do you see what these two professors were writing and the sort of things that Jimmy Carter were writing as anti-Semitism that rises to the level of Hitler and Stalin?
No, but it certainly fuels, it certainly gives credibility and credence. Look, there's a whole issue. Have I called them anti-Semites? No, I have not called them anti-Semites. I don't know what's in their heart. I can't delve that deep into their soul. But I do know that these are men of significant stature, certainly the former president. But a former president of the United States to say he wrote this book in order to be able to project the Palestinian narrative in the U.S. Why? Because the Israel lobby, American Jews, control media, control universities. That fuels anti-Semitism. Now, in this country, I find it shocking that one out of three Americans do believe that American Jews are not loyal to Israel. Mm-hmm. That's an old canard. And so for a former president or two university professors to now legitimize that Jews are just to debate, how loyal are Jews? Aren't Jews loyal? Nobody's asking about anybody else's loyalty. And to ask this historic question in the context, yes, it fuels anti-Semitism. It gives it legitimacy. And if you look at the websites of the radical right, of the radical left, you look on the Arab, you see they're great heroes. David Duke said that these professors vindicated him. Look, Pat Buchanan used to say it. Okay, if you see it in the fringes, we know there's hate in the fringes. But this is in mainstream. Paul, you and I are discussing the question of how loyal are Jews? Did the Jews bring us into the war? There's something so absurd about giving this credibility in mainstream, and they've done that.
And when you talk about loyalty, you mean loyalty to the United States versus loyalty to Israel?
Yes, and in fact, what we're finding in Europe is one out of two Europeans believe that Norwegian Jews are more loyal to Israel than Norway, or Italians, or Italian Jews more loyal to me. That's an old canard about Jews not being loyal to the country, to the citizenship. But even in this issue, Paul, about the war in Iraq, had the professors done a scholarly job, they would have found that the overwhelming majority of American Jews are opposed to the war in Iraq. Mm-hmm. Jews more than liberals, more than Quakers, more than Democrats have been opposed to the war. In fact, the largest Jewish organization, which is the American Reform Movement, which claims a membership of 1.5 million, which is almost 25% of the Jewish community that's organized, has been opposed to the war from day one. If they did a little bit of research, they would have found that Israel, who they say this is all done on behalf of Israel, that Israel from then Prime Minister Sharon to all the advisors and generals have said to the United States, the danger is Iran, not Iraq. In fact, if you go to war in Iraq, you may change the balance of power. But Iran is the threat to stability more than Iraq. And yet, they conclude in their book, in their article, that if not for the Israel lobby, if not for those who supported Israel, we would not be in a war. Charging Jews with bringing about war, I don't know, I wasn't here, World War II, the Lindberghs, the right wing, the fascists then, they blamed the Jews. The reason we fought the war, World War II, is because of the Jews. Pat Buchanan in the last Gulf War said it was the Amen Corner, that Israel controls the Congress. And for this to be a legitimate issue of debate is scary and sinister and dangerous.
I'm talking with Abe Foxman, who for the last 20 years has been national director of the Anti-Defamation League. His book is called The Deadliest Lies. He'll be giving a speech about it and doing a book signing tonight at the JCC in West County at 7:30 this evening. It's kind of a precursor to the St. Louis Jewish Book Festival, which starts in a couple of weeks, kicked off by Paul Reiser on Sunday the 4th. But Abe will be out there doing that tonight. Before the break, we were talking about the perception among some that the American Jewish population was responsible for pushing this country towards war with Iraq, and you pointed out that most Jews were against the war and continue to be against the war. But when it comes to Iran, it seems like the sympathies, particularly of those who do support Israel, are different because of the threats that have been made by Ahmadinejad in Iran against Israel. How does that play out in this country?
Well, it plays out again with the Israel lobby and the two professors who are saying the same people who brought you to war in Iraq will bring you the war in Iran. So they are playing it, and we're seeing it in the extremist media. We're seeing it on the website. Paul, here, yeah, there is a great concern because Iran and Ahmadinejad are not only denying the Holocaust, but promising to give you another Holocaust, saying that what he will do is wipe out Israel. Today, Israel represents more than half of the Jewish population of the world. and saying he will get nuclear arms to do it. And he's not the only one, because his predecessor, who was Rafsanjani, who everybody talked about as a moderate leader, also said all Iran needs is one bomb to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Now, yes, the concern is about the safety, existentialist safety of the state of Israel. But Iran presents a threat to the Gulf states, to Egypt, to Jordan. It presents a threat to Western Europe. It presents a threat to our values, to everything that we hold dear. And I think most people who are concerned say, look, we may have to, at one point, resort to war. You don't want to resort to war, then use economic sanctions. Use all the diplomacy available to you to prevent it. That's the way to stop the possibility of war. But I think many of us have said, if diplomacy is to work, if sanctions is to work, you have to say that all options are open. Because the moment you say war is not an option, Iran has absolutely no incentive to respond to economic sanctions, to diplomatic initiatives. I think nobody wants war. But nobody also wants to see the annihilation of the state of Israel or the threat. I visited the Gulf recently. I think they are more concerned even than Israel, because that's their neighbors. They say if Iran gets nuclear weapons, not on technology, but weapons, they will enslave the Gulf states, because the struggle goes beyond just Israel. The struggle is Sunni Shiite. The struggle is in terms of values. And there is threat as to, I believe that also Europe is beginning to see that it may impact on them. Also, the oil crisis. If they have nuclear weapons and they can begin to control the neighborhood, they can hike the price of oil astronomic, and that could undermine Western democracies. So nobody wants war. War is a last resort. But if you don't keep it on the table, there's no incentive for Iran to respond to diplomacy or sanctions.
I got to tell you, Abe, you sound a little like Dick Cheney. These are the same arguments that Cheney is making about Iran.
Well, it doesn't make necessary. You may not like Dick Cheney, but, you know, people say even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that Iran exists, the fact that Iran is a country that is ruled by a dictator who promises that he will. Listen, people said, I think probably one of the greatest tragedies that led to World War II is people didn't listen and didn't believe what Hitler said. Had they read Mein Kampf and had they really taken seriously what he said, I think even Germany's response would have been different. I think, if anything, we've learned to believe dictators and what they say, because they're speaking on behalf of their people. Their people are going to go and die for them. So, you know, the fact that Dick Cheney, whether you like him or not, or I and others, understand the seriousness of the threat doesn't make it wrong. There are a lot of people who I agree or disagree with who on this issue, we agree. Again, war is the last option. But do you know, we were forced to go to war against Hitler. But had we seen the threat before, I think millions of people would have been saved.
It's News Talk 1120 KMOX. Paul Harris talking with Abe Foxman of the Anti-Defamation League. Abe, you've come under some criticism recently for not supporting a congressional resolution using the word genocide to refer to what was done to the Armenians by the Ottoman Empire in Turkey in 1915 in the First World War. Why did you oppose that congressional resolution?
Because I don't think the issue between the Turks and the Armenians is going to be resolved by the Congress of the United States with the resolution. I think that's a political approach to an issue which is historic and moral. I believe we need to encourage the Turkish government, the Armenian government, to reconcile the future, and you don't do it by resolutions. Look, we have, for example, in the ADL described the events of 1915 to 1918 of what the Ottoman Turks did to the Armenians then as massacres, as atrocities. So the choice of word, we didn't use the word genocide. That's a political word. But nobody has denied, the pain, the suffering, the anguish. This is a totally different government. And I don't think by putting them in this political confrontation, it will resolve it. I think it will exacerbate it. I think what we need to do, and I met with the Prime Minister of Turkey several weeks ago, And I said to him, you know what, why not come together and deal with the grandchildren of 1915? Why not help raise the standard of living of the Armenians together? And one way to do it is maybe move away from the past. Nobody's challenging what happened. It is a question, what word do you use? And certainly now the United States, with its situation in Iraq, is dependent on Turkey. And both sides are very emotional about it. And I don't, again, so I don't think it can be resolved by a congressional fiat. Both of us, all of us, all of us, all the congressional leadership, people who care, should encourage both the Turks and the Armenians to come together to deal with it, not by fiat of a congressional resolution.
As I mentioned before, you've been with the ADL since 1965. You've been their national director since 1987. Have you had easy access to the White House through all of those years? And if so, who was the most amenable to your message?
Well, I think there's always been a bipartisan sensitivity to many of our concerns, certainly on issues of hate, certainly on issues of prejudice, discrimination, anti-Semitism. I think both sides of the political aisle have been open and available. This is a country that, for example, today mandates our State Department, our ambassadors all over the world to monitor anti-Semitism. I think on the issue of Israel and support of Israel's right to defend itself has been bipartisan throughout the years. And there is very small nuance in terms of support for Israel's viability, for the peace process. There are some, minor nuances as to how to do it. I found in the last 20 years, access to the White House when the issues were significant, whether it was Bush 1 or Clinton during his terms or Bush 2, accessible, available, listening. We do have some differences specifically on the hate crimes legislation. We in the ADL drafted the first state model hate crimes legislation, which is in 45 states. We believe that there should be federal hate crimes legislation, more as a message of America's will, that it's important to say that we see hate as a serious threat to our society, to civility. There, some of the Republican congressional leadership are opposed to it, but that's been the only major difference in terms of our agenda in the last several years.
Abe Foxman's book is called The Deadliest Lies. It's been out for about a month. You can order it through KMOX.com, and a portion of the proceeds will go to support St. Louis Children's Hospital. And, of course, the other part of the proceeds will go to help Abe and the ADL do the work they continue to do. He'll be doing a book signing and a speech about this at the JCC in West County at 7:30 tonight. And I thank you very much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you.
Abraham Foxman, National Director of the Anti-Defamation League, here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.